I'm Jack Kropp. Welcome to Sharing Recovery Radio. Today's a special show. Today our guest is Mary Ellen Evers. And Mary Ellen has been involved in drug and alcohol counseling for about 25 years. And on Thursday of this week, she is going to be putting on a presentation at the Jewish Community Center in Scranton. And Awareness is the Key is the title to this program she's putting on, which is free to the community. And this is an educational program that is going to begin and help the community become aware about the drugs that are in the workplace and really awareness about addiction in general. So that's what today's show is going to be about. If you have questions and you'd like to call in and participate in this show, 570-883-0098. If you have a problem, a loved one has a problem, somebody needs help getting into a treatment program, after the show, call my cell phone, 570-881-5825. So, Mary Ellen, welcome today. You were on our show the first season that we did, and that was different than today's show. That was about you and about what goes on. But today, you're going to share with us about awareness, and we're going to talk about drugs, the workplace, schools. I was recently at a local high school to talk about a presentation I'm going to do there in October. And when I said to the woman that I was with, I said, you don't understand that right now, right this minute, at 9 o'clock in the morning at this school, there are people with drugs in their pockets. There are people doing drugs. There are teachers. There could be employees. All kinds of people in this workplace are affected. So addiction is everywhere. It's in every socioeconomic category. So tell us about Thursday and what is your program about awareness?
Well, first I want to thank you for having me back. I really appreciate the fact that you invited me in today to talk about this. So thank you for that.
Thank you for being here.
You know, a friend of mine and I got together. She works with Avenues. And you know what happens, Jack, is...
No, wait, you said Avenues. Tell us what Avenues Recovery Educational Service is.
Avenues is a newer rehab that my friend Nadine works for.
And where are they located?
You know what? It's outside of Lackawanna County.
I see.
You know, so, and in some ways that's a good thing, because sometimes you got to get the heck out of your area. But, you know, we used to work together at another rehab facility, Nadine and I, and we were talking one day, and I said, you know, I see all of these parents. I'm really active with my kids at their high school. And so I'm a booster, Dunmore Band booster parent. And I would talk to the parents about different things, drugs and alcohol, what I do for a living, what I hear, what I see. And they were all mesmerized. And it, you know, really started to play in my mind that for a person who doesn't have an addict in their life, or who's not an addict,
or don't know they have an addict in their life,
they really have no idea what goes on out there.
Right.
So the more I thought about it, I had wanted to do this on my own. But then Nadine and I started to talk, and we got a handful of other people in the profession, and we thought, let's put together this 6-part series to help educate people to increase their awareness of what's really going on out there that they're not aware of, what kids are doing, what adults are doing, young adults, just to kind of, you know, help them to better understand the dangers. What's happening? Everyone seems to be shocked when they discover someone is an addict. They don't have that simple knowledge. You know, we speak a different language because we're in the field.
But what you're saying, though, is exactly right, because I've been sober for some time now. But when I found out that my own daughter had a problem that we needed to address, I went right into denial.
Right.
No, not my daughter.
Yep.
That can't be.
Yep.
Now, here I am. I work in the field. I've been sober 20 years. And when it hits my house, I then step back and say, how did I not recognize this in my own life? And I mean, looking backwards, yeah, there were signs. I mean, she had a job. She had, but she never had any money. She was always short. Can I borrow 10? Can I borrow 100? I can't pay this bill. It never dawned on me to say, where's that money going? And there are tells.
Mm-hmm.
We both know there are tells. But so you're 100% right. There are what you just said. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to make that point that it could, people don't think there's addiction in their life, but there is.
Yeah, everybody's touched by it and they don't even realize it. You know, and being in the profession, you know, we had a couple different dinners and meetings to talk about how we wanted to put this program together. The one thing we all kind of agreed upon is we're not discounting how horrific the opioid epidemic is. We know that's an epidemic, but there is so much more going on out there that people don't even know. They're not even aware. In our area, the use of methamphetamine is increasing tremendously. The use of cocaine is back on the rise in our area. And a lot of people aren't aware of it because in the media and the push has been to make everyone more aware of the opioid epidemic.
And you said cocaine is on the rise. I just read an article the other day, which was frightening, that we hear about fentanyl being, heroin and fentanyl being cut together.
Yep.
I just read an article that somebody sent me the other day that cocaine and fentanyl are now being cut together. And that was terribly frightening to me because fentanyl kills.
Yeah, without a doubt.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Fentanyl's a killer. So now instead of just adding it to heroin, now we're going to start adding it to cocaine.
Well, here's the scary part. They're adding it to marijuana. So you get, you know, I work with some adolescents. I got a little Jimmy who comes in whose parents think it's no big deal that he might smoke some pot. Well, you don't know what that's cut with. And fentanyl is on the rise. There was just an issue up in Connecticut where someone was handing out, I think it was spice or marijuana that had been laced with fentanyl. And about 42 people ended up at the ER in a matter of 20 minutes or something to that effect. And so a lot of people aren't even aware of that.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that's really what kind of created the groundwork of this 6-week educational series.
Okay. So now that's, you've mentioned that now. It's a 6-week series. Is this Thursday the first in this series? So Thursday the 20th at the Jewish Community Center in Scranton, you will begin this 6-week series and all 6 weeks will be there at the same venue?
All 6 weeks at the same venue. I'm going to start it off with awareness is key. So my piece is pretty much like, these are drugs. This is what marijuana looks like. This is what spice looks like. This is what, you know, kids are dabbing nowadays. This is what's going on with the use of codeine with kids. Did you know kids nowadays, specifically females, are smoking alcohol? I see the look on your face confuses you. I know.
I've certainly never heard that before, that people are smoking alcohol. I mean,
yeah, it seems to be quite the trend, and especially with younger females, so that they don't get the calories. I almost hate to say how to do it because then people might want to do it. But in essence, pretty much you vaporize the alcohol and then you inhale the vapors from, let's say, a bottle of vodka. You inhale it. It's a more intense high because of the vapor gets in your system through your nose, which we know anything you take through your nose affects your brain more quickly.
And that was my point with the cocaine being mixed with the fentanyl, that now we're not shooting it or smoking it. Now we're snorting it, which is a direct...
direct hit to the brain.
Right. This is smoking...
You got a minute.
Smoking alcohol. I just never heard of that before.
I know. That's why we thought this was a really good idea to kind of raise this awareness of what's going on out there.
All right. So the first show in this series is called Awareness is the Key. Mm-hmm. And it's from A to Z, alcohol to Xanax.
Yep.
So I know this. You know this. This is just natural to you. But the people listening to this show don't know what the drugs are that are out there. So can we please talk about that now? Like,
sure.
What are the drugs that we're seeing in the community today? And in what age groups are we seeing them, Mariel?
Right. You know, I don't really think there's a definite line age group-wise. I think it's across the board. You know, we have marijuana, but now that it's legalized in some areas and it's, you know, used medicinally, there's a lot of confusion about that. The kids are using the Juuls or the electronic cigarettes to smoke marijuana at its marijuana oil at its purest form. Those are the dabs. It's like honey. And you could have someone sitting right next to you on a bus taking a little piece of this honey and putting it on an electric cigarette, and they're actually getting high. It's a cannabis oil. We know, and these are all the depressants, the use of Xanax and the use of the benzos, you know, and the kids doing the farm parties with the pills.
All right, stop right there, because that's something we got to talk about. We got to take our first break to thank the sponsors. We'll be right back.
For over 35 years, Fitness Headquarters in Wilkes-Barre and Dixon City has been supplying the area with vitamins, supplements, fitness equipment from rehabilitation to athletic performance. A knowledgeable staff on hand can get you on the right path to your recovery with the proper supplements and vitamins. Let the professionals at Fitness Headquarters get you on the path to feeling good and getting healthy. Fitness Headquarters are proud sponsors of Sharing Recovery. Fitness Headquarters, Dixon City and Wilkes-Barre. To a healthy you through recovery. Stop suffering from substance abuse. Silver Pines Treatment Center of Mahanoy City believes in providing home-like living conditions in a peaceful and serene setting, professional staff on hand to help you with this life-changing experience. Get into a healthy you at Silver Pines Treatment Center, 5 White Owl Drive in Mahanoy City. Call them at 855-662-1319 or visit silverpinestreatmentcenter.com. When you're hurt or in trouble, you need a capable, determined, and experienced lawyer on your side. That attorney is Jason Mattioli. Attorney Jason Mattioli is a highly regarded and professional lawyer who understands sometimes good people wind up in trouble. He will defend you to the end and provide you with the guidance you need to get your life back. Attorney Mattioli is located at 700 Vine Street in Scranton. Call 570-961-1616. 570-961-1616.
And as we start this next segment, anybody who wants to talk to us, anybody, if you're a family member, whoever you are, if you have questions about what's going on in the community, what's going on with drugs, if you think somebody has a problem and you want to hear about, if you want some input on what the signs are, call us, 570-883-0098. If you want to call me personally, 570-881-5825, but try and wait till after the show for that. So as I said, as we started, our guest today is Mary Ellen Evers, and we're talking about her series that's going to go on at the Scranton, the Jewish Community Center in Scranton. And Awareness is the Key Education series, and it's a 6-part series that'll begin on Thursday. And today we're talking about awareness and the awareness of what drugs there are, how kids and how anybody, like I just said, how kids are using them. And Mary Ellen corrected me, said, no, it's not just kids. It's right across the age. It's every age. So, Mary Ellen, just before we stopped, we were talking about, explain to the audience what you explained to me during the break about the pump and the...
Yeah, so with the smoking alcohol, what happens is they'll put alcohol in, say, a 2-liter bottle, and they'll put a cork. Then they insert a bicycle pump into the cork, and they use the pump to add air into this 2-liter bottle with, you know, half filled with alcohol. Once you pop that cork, all of these vapors come up, and they'll inhale the alcohol. It's a more intense drunk, shall we say, a more intense high, because it goes, like we said, right up the nose and right to the brain. And we're seeing an increase in this with young women who think, I won't have to drink my calories, I can still get drunk, I just won't have to take the calories in.
All right, because when you said smoking alcohol, that's what I said to myself, how do you smoke alcohol? Because if you light alcohol on fire, you're going to have a flame.
Correct.
You're not going to be able to smoke alcohol.
Right.
But that's what they're doing. They're vaporizing alcohol.
And that's the term they're using, smoking alcohol.
Oh, but in the street, it's called smoking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So In other words, if you see your kid with an empty 2-liter bottle and a cork, you might want to...
And a bicycle pump, you might kind of go like, hey, what's happening
here? This isn't a school project.
Yes.
All right, so what else is going on in the community?
You know, there's a big push too lately. A lot of people are using codeine. And that got really popular.
Well, codeine, when I was a kid, my mother used to give me cough medicine with codeine in it.
Yep.
So are we referring to the same codeine?
We are. We're referring to...
And it tasted horrible, by the way.
Well, you know what? You know, for a while there, the kids were they call it robo-tripping, where they'll drink a bunch of the cough syrup and it makes them hallucinate.
Stop. You're robo-tripping. You're saying words. I'm old school.
I'm old school
recovery.
Too.
And I don't know anything about this. But you say robo-tripping, and Carly's here doing the Facebook Live, and she's nodding her head yes, like she knows what this stuff is. Now, I'm getting nervous. Carly's been sober 2.5 years, and she's nodding her head to yes to robo-tripping. And I say, oh, boy, we're in trouble. Carly, do you have something you want to tell me?
Right now, so you see why my friends go, what are you talking about,
Mary Ellen? What is robo-tripping?
Well, robo-tripping is where you get, you know, a whole bunch of the cough syrup. And you just drink it.
Where do you get it? Don't you need a prescription?
No, you just get by over the counter.
With codeine in it?
Well, you can get it still. Yeah, if you drink enough, you get enough of the codeine in it and the other chemicals, and you hallucinate.
And that's robo-tripping.
And that's robo-tripping. Now, there's something called SysUp.
What?
Jack, you got to come hang out with me Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a treatment center every day of the week with people, and you're telling me stuff that I've never heard before.
That's why awareness is key. So what SysUp is you take cough syrup and you mix it with Sprite. And it's called SysUp. It got really popular through rap music. They would sing about it. Again, yes, your daughter's nodding her head, right? As a matter of fact, a few days ago, there was an article in USA Today. One of the rap stars, Bow Wow Wow was his name or something. He just did a...
Yeah, I just started to read that. When I brought up the article about your series,
right,
there was another attachment, and it was a rap guy, Bow Wow, and he was talking about something I had never heard of.
Yep, that's what he was SysUpping. Yeah, because I did. I posted it with when I saw that article. And he talks about how, like, for 3 years or however many years, he was so addicted to the codeine and the cough syrup that, you know, he couldn't function. He had to go into recovery.
So as we started this 15 minutes or this segment today, you said it's not just about heroin.
No.
It's not about an opiate epidemic. You're saying things to me that I have never heard before. And like we all know, I do this for a living.
Right.
And I've never heard this. So this is going on in schools?
Sure. It's going on in schools. It's going on in the woods.
What do you mean in the woods?
Well, you know, the kids or even not even the kids. Again, it doesn't really cross any age barrier. It's all over. You'll get people who will go out into the woods to party, and they'll use a variety of different drugs. It's not necessarily...
Literally, they go out in the woods?
Sure. Sure.
I didn't realize it. And this stuff goes on here in the Northeast?
Oh, heavens, yeah. There's, you know, little cabins and little trailers here and there. People will take their quads out into the woods, build a fire, have a great Friday or Saturday night, and they're ingesting a lot of different drugs. And again, not to minimize the heroin epidemic, I know it's huge, but there's so much more that's going on out there that people aren't aware of. You know, like I mentioned earlier, we're seeing a big increase in the use of methamphetamine.
Right. I shouldn't say everybody, but people in the industry, you know, we know that there's a big meth problem. Meth is getting bigger by the day.
Yep.
But I don't know if our listeners even know what meth is. I mean, people know what heroin is or cocaine is because they hear it on the news or they've read something. What is meth?
Well, pretty much what I have in my garage is meth. That's what I tell people. It's, you know, a combination of antifreeze, Sudafed, Fix-A-Flat. It's pretty much just chemicals that are boiled up and has got to be done in a specific way or else you blow up, like you'll see on the news. It's boiled down, it's crystallized, and the crystal is, i.e., the crystal meth.
You know, this isn't funny, but I'll say it anyhow because I don't have a filter. One day I'm sitting in the den with Sylvia, my wife, and Carly's mom, and she needed a new coffee pot. And she was looking at reconditioned coffee pots because she's frugal. I mean, She's looking at reconditioned coffee pots. I'm looking at Porsches. Right. You know, there's a disconnect in the room. But I said, don't you realize somebody was cooking meth with that?
Yeah.
And in that coffee pot before you bought it?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what they tell us about cooking meth. What is that?
Well, again, it's pretty much, yeah, heating all of those chemicals that, like I said, are pretty much Sudafed plus different chemicals that are in your garage.
Why Sudafed? We know, we hear that Sudafed, now you have to buy Sudafed from the pharmacist. It's right. Not out. Why is that, Mario?
From that specific pseudoephedrahedrin. I don't know. I'm not a biology major. Okay. I'm horrible with the chemical names. But that one medication in there, that actually works if you take it like it's supposed
to. If you take it for what it's meant for.
For what it's meant for. But mixed with all of those other chemicals is what, you know, I guess coagulates together and creates the crystals that you can smoke and get high off of.
So when they boil this, you end up with like a powdery type thing?
Yeah, it crystallizes.
All right,
yeah.
And then we smoke that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, too, and this is where a lot of the mistakes happen, and people actually die because they don't know what they're doing, and it's specific chemistry. You can't add this, you know, I mean.
You were actually, you're answering the question before I asked it, because I was going to say, now, so I know a young man right now, and I've tried to help him a lot, and you know, some people just, it takes longer to get than others.
Yep.
But I know he's in a trailer somewhere south of here, and he's cooking meth.
Yep.
But I also know he's not a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
So who determines what parts, how do we decide what this formula is? Is there a formula out there in the internet world that kids try and use or people try to use?
Sure. There's lots of websites. All you got to do is search it on YouTube.
There's what?
There's websites in YouTube.
To cook meth?
Oh, yeah. You go to YouTube and you Google, you can search anything. You'll search about how to try to boil down your own marijuana to create your own cannabis oil. You'll find stuff on how to make meth. You'll find stuff about K2 and spice. It's all out there at their fingertips. See, this is where our generation is so different than yours and mine. You know, it's at their fingertips, and they make the person who's doing the YouTube video is like, hoo-hoo, isn't this great? And so these kids try, people try it. You know, there was, a couple years ago, just in Dunmore, over a pizzeria, somebody blew up.
Right.
So you know, they mixed it wrong.
There could be people cooking meth mm-hmm. in the house next door to yours. Whether you live in the $50,000 neighborhood or you live in the $500,000 neighborhood, somebody could be cooking meth next door, and you really have no way of knowing, do you?
Well, it smells really bad, which is why we often see meth use and the production of meth in more rural areas, because if you're on 50 acres, nobody is going to smell the horrific smell that making meth creates. You know, so we are seeing a lot of the increase up in the Wayne County area, up in more of the rural countryside, because nobody knows what you're doing.
And I have realized that, yes, that in the rural areas we got people cooking meth. I didn't know mm-hmm. That's why that was occurring. I just thought it was simply because they were hiding out. It's because you're getting an odor.
A bad odor.
So if you're living, you know, in the 200 block of Washington Street in Wilkes-Barre, and you can smell something all the time next door,
mm-hmm.
There might be somebody cooking meth in there.
Sure.
And
kids do it in their parents' garage. I had a young guy I was working with probably about 6 months ago, and I asked him, where are you doing this? And he said, oh, out in my garage. My parents have no idea.
So they're not aware.
They're not aware.
And awareness is the key.
Exactly.
That's the whole point here. Yep. Awareness is the key, and they're not aware.
Yeah.
I believe it's time for us to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Very good.
Get into a healthy you through recovery. Stop suffering from substance abuse. Silver Pines Treatment Center of Mahanoy City believes in providing home-like living conditions in a peaceful and serene setting, professional staff on hand to help you with this life-changing experience. Get into a healthy you at Silver Pines Treatment Center, 5 White Owl Drive in Mahanoy City. Call them at 855-662-1319 or visit silverpinestreatmentcenter.com. For over 35 years, Fitness Headquarters in Wilkes-Barre and Dickson City has been supplying the area with vitamins, supplements, fitness equipment from rehabilitation to athletic performance. A knowledgeable staff on hand can get you on the right path to your recovery with the proper supplements and vitamins. Let the professionals at Fitness Headquarters get you on the path to feeling good and getting healthy. Fitness Headquarters are proud sponsors of Sharing Recovery. Fitness Headquarters, Dickson City and Wilkes-Barre. When you're hurt or in trouble, you need a capable, determined, and experienced lawyer on your side. That attorney is Jason Mattioli. Attorney Jason Mattioli is a highly regarded and professional lawyer who understands sometimes good people wind up in trouble. He will defend you to the end and provide you with the guidance you need to get your life back. Attorney Mattioli is located at 700 Vine Street in Scranton. Call 570-961-1616. 570-961-1616.
I'm Jack, and we're back. And during the break, I actually got a text, a question via text from someone that said, didn't you ever go in the woods drinking? And I have to tell you the truth that in my generation, that's not how we did it. Mm-hmm. When I was 16, 17 years old, we bought alcohol. And you know, we're talking now about how do you get the things to make meth? Well, back in my day, it wasn't how do you get the things to make meth. It was how do you get a 12-pack or a case of beer? And you had to get an older brother or a friend down the street or a bar room that didn't know how old you were. But we would buy that and we would drive around. Mm-hmm. We spent our time in a car driving through the woods, and when I say the woods, the back roads in Harding and through Wyoming and Dallas. That's what we did. I don't ever remember going out into the woods and sitting around a campfire, but any of you that know me realize I'm not going camping very often. So. And now, during the break, Mary Ellen said something that was really scary to me. She said, look around this room we're in. Half the chemicals we need to make meth are right there on the shelf. And what am I looking at? I'm looking at something called Tough Stuff and WD-40 and Clorox wipes and hand sanitizer. The stuff that everybody has in their house.
Yeah.
And nobody realizes that this is how we're going to cook the meth.
Yep.
So now we cook this meth and now we got a pile of crystals. What do we do with it?
We're either going to use it or sell it or both.
But how do we use it? Do we
smoke it?
Smoke it? Do we shoot it?
You
do
can
we
shoot it? You can shoot it. Look, any drug that's out there, from weed to Xanax to A to Z, you can snort, you can inject. Anything is turned into liquid. You know, you can ingest through your stomach. So there's a variety of ways you can smoke it.
Wow. I'm glad we're having this show today because
you're learning a lot.
Let's talk about mom and dad and the medicine cabinet.
Oh, good. That's where I wanted to go.
Because there's people listening to this show that say, my kid doesn't do meth. Mm-hmm. My kid never did this. My kid didn't do that. Or my wife didn't do this. Or my husband didn't do that. But just about everybody has a medicine cabinet, or they have a cabinet in their kitchen. They have somewhere that they keep their prescription drugs.
Yeah.
And those prescription drugs, some of them could be years old. I opened a cabinet where we keep the prescription drugs about a month ago, and I found a prescription for, not OxyContin, for another painkiller that my daughter Carly had from when she had her teeth removed, which had to be 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were sitting on a shelf. I never even noticed them before. I just picked them up and saw them. So everybody has a medicine cabinet like that, right?
Yeah.
What do we find there?
Well, you know, we find the benzos, the Xanax.
Stop. What are benzos?
Right.
You're saying benzo like because we know what you're talking about.
Right.
But the people listening don't know what a benzo is. And they say benzo and they look at the bottle and it doesn't say benzo on the bottle. So right. They say, I don't have that. What's a benzo?
Benzodiazepine is your Ativan, your Klonopin, your Xanax. All right. Very often prescribed to people for anxiety. And if used properly,
are helpful
for some. All right. What's happening with the medicine chest is people are taking as they're not prescribed. People are taking and they're still what they call the farm parties. P PHARM, pharmaceutical parties, where everybody who's invited brings their pill of choice. You throw them all in a big bowl.
Right, I'm gonna say my favorite word. Stop. What are you talking about?
For? Yep.
People are going in, they're stealing the prescriptions out of the cabinet, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're going to parties and they're sharing these things.
Yeah, so what'll happen at a farm party is you'll put a bowl in the middle of the table. Everybody who comes to the party will throw whatever pill they bring with them, or whatever pills they bring with them. You mix up all the pills, and then you just grab a handful and take it. So you don't know what you're taking, but it's called a farm, PHARM, pharmaceutical party. Another thing people will do is called parachuting, where they'll take five or six, let's just say Xanax, and they'll wrap them in a tissue. And then swallow the entire tissue.
Well, what's the purpose of doing that?
It gets the intensity of all, let's say, five or six of the Xanax hit the body and the system all at once, as opposed to taking one and then a couple minutes later or another half hour later taking another. If you take five, I guess, I don't know, nobody wants to take a handful of whatever, but they'll put it in wrap it in toilet paper, when they call it parachuting, where all of the pills are ingested all at the same time. Get a bigger high.
Unbelievable. So, pretty much, I've talked about kids to this point, and I keep referring to young people. Are there addiction issues like this in the workplace, Marianne?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You know what? There's many people who I see in my private practice. Again, teachers, attorneys, engineers who struggle with addiction. And it's not just alcohol. It's, you know, again, not just heroin. It's mixing Xanax with alcohol. It's taking Suboxone or Subutex because they've gotten off of heroin. But now, again, using it not as it's prescribed and mixing it with other over-the-counter medications to get a high off of it.
Now, it's easier for people, and this is a question, is it easier for people to hide addiction to painkillers or to pills than it is to alcohol?
My personal opinion is yes, because you're not going to smell if I took three Xanax. Believe it or not, pills are also easier to hide. People who abuse pills hide their addiction a little differently than people who drink do. Our hiding places are different for an alcoholic compared to someone who abuses pills.
Well, and as being an alcoholic myself, if I've had enough to drink, I'm going to become physically challenged. I'm going to start to slur my words. I'm going to walk funny. But with pills, that's not necessarily the case, right? With pills, you can just become quiet or...
No, actually, they all fall under the same...
And what I'm trying to do is point out to people what they should be looking for in that one that they suspect has an issue.
Right. So all the pills we really... or all the drugs we've talked about right now are considered depressants.
Okay.
Right? There's three kind of schools. There's the depressant drugs, there's the stimulant drugs, and then there's the psychoactive, the LSD and the shrooms and that kind
of
stuff.
And is a depressant also?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
See, I always thought that was just the opposite. I thought meth was like speed, we used to call it.
Yes, it is. It's
right?
A stimulant. I take that back, yes.
Okay.
I was thinking of something different. So the ones that we've been talking about, the benzos, the alcohol, the weed, GHB, which is that date rape drug, all of those will depress the body's system. The heart rate slows.
Do people take GHB recreationally?
At times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been termed as the date rape drug, again, mixed with other things. So those are all the class of drugs that will depress the heart rate, the blood pressure, and, you know, you take enough Xanax and you could very well be slurring your words just like the person who drank too much. I don't know if you've ever seen someone who's used dust off or who's huffed. Huffing?
What's dust off?
Huffing is inhaling, again, the fumes. From dust off the stuff you use to clean your keyboard or from different aerosol cans.
Mean,
it's called huffing.
I didn't know dust off was a thing. I mean, mm-hmm. That's actually a product.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And people are inhaling that.
Right. So what that does is it stops the oxygen from going to your brain and you start kind of rolling around on the floor. Some people will think that they're having hallucinations or they're having like this great magical, you know, visual. But when in actuality, it's their brain's not getting oxygen, which is really scary.
Yeah, that's...
But people who huff, that's what occurs.
Wow.
So the depressant drugs, your body's going to slow down. Sometimes your heart forgets to keep beating because you've taken in so much of a depressant that your brain doesn't know to tell the heart to keep going. And so the heart stops.
This is just totally amazing to me. So, and then what are, you said there's three categories.
Right.
What are the three categories again?
There's the depressants, then there's the stimulants, which is the methamphetamine, the cocaine, the crack, the Adderalls, the ADHD medications, because those are all the drugs that increase the heart rate, increase the blood pressure. Pupils get really, really tiny and constricted. In those certain cases, sometimes the heart, so to speak, explodes. Len Bias, I can remember being a kid.
I went to the University of Maryland.
Yeah, I can remember being a kid, and that's what scared all of us in high school was, oh my God, don't be a Len Bias. You know, his heart exploded because he did too much cocaine. So those are the stimulant drugs. You know, going back to the meth real quick, one of the, I guess, reasons a lot of people who are often truck drivers will abuse meth is because it makes them feel like Superman. And so they can go 24, 48 hours. They can empty that truck. They can get back on the road. They can make good time because it speeds them up so much.
Just amazing. And so now you say that, you know, people... Again, I'm 61 years old, but, you know, over the years, people always knew that truck drivers were taking Black Beauties. They were taking Robin's eggs. They were taking pills to stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
But now you say they're doing meth to stay awake and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got a guy with a 100,000-pound truck rolling down the highway at 70 miles an hour. And I believe, and Carly's going to laugh when I say this, I believe the word they use is tweaking.
Yep.
What is tweaking? That's the person that's using meth?
I've heard it used in that. I don't know. It's also a dance.
Oh, I see. Because I picked up a guy recently to take him to a treatment center, and he told me he was all tweaked out.
Right.
And I just acted like I knew I was going to be cool. So I just acted like I knew what he was talking about. But I assumed that meant he was doing meth.
He was whacked out.
We got now we got truck drivers that are doing meth.
It's a whole nother language. It really is.
Yeah.
You know.
And I shared this story once before, but I took a guy to treatment and I took him home, and he was an opiate addict,
mm-hmm.
but he was a welder on a nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, "You're welding on a nuclear power plant." He said, "Yeah." And I said, "You got to be kidding." He said, "You think I'm the only one?" He said, "There's 40 other guys doing it right now too." And he said, "And there's another one that's selling it." And I said, "This can't be."
Oh, yeah.
He said, "It is." And I took that young man home on a Friday, and he was dead on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And he got himself a load of heroin cut with fentanyl.
Yeah.
And he was gone. And this is all just so amazing to me because I thought I was aware.
Well, you know, one of the stories I share real quick with a lot of the parents, and they were blown away by this, my band parent friends, very often, and I think I even wrote about it in my book, you know, you'll go into a corner store and you'll see the glass tube with the fake rose in it. And, you know, who really wants to buy a fake material rose in a glass cylinder at a corner store? People buy them to use that glass cylinder as a pipe.
Really?
Yeah, to smoke crack or to smoke meth.
Wow.
So.
And how about that girl who just died in Scranton because her boyfriend cut the brake line off the car so they could make a pipe to smoke crack, right?
Yep, that's what his story was.
All right, we're taking another break now, I believe, and we'll come back for the last segment.
This is WYLK, powered by Sherwood Chevrolet Buick GMC, online at SherwoodChevrolet.com.
When you're hurt or in trouble, you need a capable, determined, and experienced lawyer on your side. That attorney is Jason Mattioli. Attorney Jason Mattioli is a highly regarded and professional lawyer who understands sometimes good people wind up in trouble. He will defend you to the end and provide you with the guidance you need to get your life back. Attorney Mattioli is located at 700 Vine Street in Scranton. Call 570-961-1616. 570-961-1616. For over 35 years, Fitness Headquarters in Wilkes-Barre and Dixon City has been supplying the area with vitamins, supplements, fitness equipment from rehabilitation to athletic performance. A knowledgeable staff on hand can get you on the right path to your recovery with the proper supplements and vitamins. Let the professionals at Fitness Headquarters get you on the path to feeling good and getting healthy. Fitness Headquarters are proud sponsors of Sharing Recovery. Fitness Headquarters, Dixon City and Wilkes-Barre. Get into a healthy you through recovery. Stop suffering from substance abuse. Silver Pines Treatment Center of Mahanoy City believes in providing home-like living conditions in a peaceful and serene setting. Professional staff on hand to help you with this life-changing experience. Get into a healthy you at Silver Pines Treatment Center, 5 White Owl Drive in Mahanoy City. Call them at 855-662-1319 or visit silverpinestreatmentcenter.com.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone's listening. Okay, we're back. If you have questions for Mary Ellen, would like to call in 570-883-0098. If you want help, call me after the show, 570-881-5825. So today we're talking about Mary Ellen's series that's called Awareness Education Series, which is called Awareness is the Key. And Thursday the 20th, she'll be at the Scranton Jewish Community Center for the first of a six-week series. Awareness is in the key, is the key. So we've talked today about some of the drugs in the community today, and we've talked about how people are abusing them. What are some of the slang words we're hearing in the community that families should be listening for? You know, our kids, because kids have their own language.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, two kids can sit in a room and have a conversation, and you'll understand the words, but you have no idea what they're saying, right, Mariana? Right.
Yeah, I mean, every drug has its own slang and kind of street term. You know, dabs was one that's always, used for the liquid or for the crystal, the melted down marijuana. You know, there's the terms, and a lot of people hear it, you know, the Zannies, Special K.
What's Special K?
For some people, there's two different terms for Special K. One is actually ketamine, which is pretty much animal tranquilizer, but also some kids will refer to Klonopin as that.
Oh, animal tranquilizer? People are abusing animal tranquilizer?
It gets mixed in the mix, so yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and then there's, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the SZA-up, purple juice, which is another term that they'll use when they mix the codeine with the Sprite or 7-Up, you know, X, V, K, LMNOP. I don't know. There's a lot of different terms out there. There's really not one. I mean, I encourage people, if they're really curious or they're concerned, or if they hear a term that they just, you know, have to question, there's nothing wrong with Googling it to see.
Okay, so.
Also, real quick, terms are different in different parts of the United States as well. So, you know, slang that might be used down in Florida, let's say, or Georgia, is different than the slang that's used here in Northeast PA, which is different than the slang that is used out in, let's say, you know, Arizona or Idaho. So it's around culture and it's around the geography of where a person lives. Slang differs.
Okay. Now, what are some of the signs that somebody's going into withdrawal? because there could be kids that are at home, or your husband could be laying on the couch right now, and he's telling you he doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. But that's not, he doesn't feel good. You're right, he doesn't. But why? And he's trying to hide that from you, or the wife, the kids, the employer. Right. What is withdrawal all about?
You know, I think whenever we come to that topic, what scares me the most is people don't realize getting off of heroin, stopping heroin, won't kill you. You'll feel like crud. You'll feel like you had the flu for 3 or 4 days. That won't kill you. But to suddenly stop alcohol,
right,
and to suddenly stop misusing benzos, the Xanax, the Ativans, the Klonopins, your body can go into seizures, and that can kill you when you withdraw without doctor's attention.
You know, people that I have helped over the years don't believe me when I say that. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, well, I've been drinking 2 bottles of wine a day for the last 12 years, and I do this and I do that. And they say, okay, I'm going to go into treatment. They're going to go to inpatient treatment on Tuesday. Okay, I'm going to stop drinking. I tell them, no, don't.
Correct.
I tell people, I have transported people, which I do on a regular basis. I let them drink while I'm transporting them, because the last thing I want them to do is start to go into withdrawal from alcohol, mm-hmm, because a seizure from an alcohol withdrawal will kill you.
Correct.
I mean, heroin, yeah, you're gonna sit there and throw up. You're gonna have the flu,
yep,
from the opiates, but you're not going to die.
Right.
Now, it appears to me that we have a caller on line one, so let me see if I can figure this out here. This is Jack. How can we talk to you about today?
Hey, Jack. I have a 9-year-old right now, and I know it's a little in the future, thankfully. But I was hoping you guys had some tips as far as to how to steer him away from this stuff. Like, obviously be open, but other tips as far as just keeping him away from the wrong people, etc. And I want to take your question off the air so I could hear everything you have to say. Thanks.
Sure. Go ahead, Mary Ellen. Let's see if we can...
Yeah, you know, I have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old, 2 bonus daughters. And from day one, I've been just pretty much honest with them about everything. Yeah. There you go. I've been honest with the girls about everything, you know, and I'll say to them, you know, this is going to be out there. You're going to hear it. You're going to see it. This is what's going to happen. Nothing ever that comes in a pill is worth your while. Don't ever, ever, ever take a pill that somebody offers you. So I just try to be real with them and be honest with them, to let them know, you know, that I know, and I know what goes on, and that I'm a safe person that they can come talk to. You know, I think one of the things I told them early on too was, someone's going to hand you a glass and it's going to taste like really, really sweet, and it's going to taste like fruit punch, and you're going to love it. Don't drink it. or the one that's going to taste like chocolate milk, don't drink it.
Well, and the other thing is, we can't be with our kids every minute of every day.
No.
And we cannot determine who's a good kid and who's a bad kid. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can't give my daughter a cheat sheet and say, go to school with these things here.
Correct.
And that's how you'll see a good kid from a bad kid.
Yeah.
And my children all went to a private prep school. And one day a parent said to me that their children were there also. And they said, yeah, but our kids go here. And I said, yeah. She said, so there shouldn't be these problems here. And I said, you know what? It's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Our kids have more access to money. Our kids have more access to everything is more available to our kids without any danger. Mm-hmm. I said, so there's going to be as much or more of a problem in that environment. So, yeah, you can take a kid who's going to school in the best clothes, driving the nicest car, and say to your daughter or son, oh, maybe you should hang around with Johnny or Sally. It looks like she comes from a good home. What we don't know is the father's at home eating painkillers.
Yep.
And she decided, well, you know, as long as he's doing it, I'll do it. So to school comes a handful of OxyContin or Xanax or whatever it is that dad's or mom is taking at home, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, there have been times where my caseload has been a number of adolescents or young adults who have gone primarily to private schools. And they'll pretty much tell me flat out, I had the money and the means. My parents, you know, I had a nanny or my parents would go do their thing. And so I would go do my thing. So they had more access.
Right. And that's what we've talked about, that there has to be an awareness that addiction is everywhere.
Yes.
It's not under the bridge anymore. When I was a kid, an alcoholic wasn't an alcoholic. He was a drunk. Mm-hmm. And he wore a trench coat that looked like Columbo's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was hiding in the shadows. That's not the way addiction is today. Addiction is in every street corner. It's in every household. It's from rich people to poor people, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things that confuses people, especially when I speak to them about heroin addiction, is this idea that you're not going to know that that person is high on heroin. If their addiction is that intense, they need that heroin just to get up in the morning and get into the shower and function. So,
right. Yeah. They're not doing heroin to go out to the club and dance and have
Correct.
A party.
Correct.
This isn't like when I was a kid and wanted to go drinking mm-hmm. to get excited. Now, when you have an opiate addiction, you're taking that opiate, whatever it is. And we've heard so many people say they started out on a prescription opiate
yes.
and then they end up on heroin. But now they're not doing it for the fun. They're doing it to survive, right, Mary?
They're doing it to not get sick. They're doing it to stop the aches and the flu-like symptoms. They're doing it to get in the shower and to get to work. And you'd never know that they just chewed about 10, you know, OxyContins or snorted it or did some heroin. They need it just to function. It becomes a ball and chain that they get stuck in that cycle of addiction.
And so many people talk about just that the first time that they abuse, some people start out with opiates mm-hmm. and they're taking them as the label says, for the pain in their back, for the pain in their knee, whatever that pain is. As we all know, it was developed as a cancer pain drug.
Right.
So we're using it properly, but at some point we start abusing it, and then we get that first high.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had every person